It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll talk about a Wisconsin legend who was one of bicycling's pioneer racers.
But first, four paper companies in northeast Wisconsin reached a settlement with federal, state, and tribal governments over PCB contamination in the Fox River.
The $54.1 million deal comes after months of negotiations and will help support the cleanup and restoration of the Fox River.
Here to talk about how cleanup efforts in the Fox River Valley are going and what still needs to be done is Ed Culhane, communication specialist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He's public affairs manager for the Northeast Wisconsin office of the DNR. Ed, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, as we mentioned, the settlement itself totals about $54.1 million. How much is the overall cost of the Fox River cleanup?
Well, this is a very large cleanup. In fact, it's the largest cleanup of contaminated sediments ever attempted anywhere in the world. And the serious work on this began in 2004, and hundreds of thousands of cubic yards of sediments have been removed. And by the time this is done, it will have cost the responsible parties in excess of $1 billion.
Wow, that's a lot. PCBs now were banned decades ago, right? Why are they still a problem we're dealing with in 2014?
Yeah, what happened was back in the 50s, NCR Corp and a paper company here in Appleton began producing carbonless paper, a specific kind of carbonless paper, and which obviously became widely used. And PCBs were used in that process. And so in the decades that followed, in the 50s and 60s, close to 700,000 pounds of this chemical were discharged into the river as a part of those manufacturing processes. PCBs are hydrophobic, which means they don't like water. They tend to stick to sediments in the mud and clay. And in the river, they resuspend themselves into the environment and into the food chain, where they cause reproductive failures and birth defects in fish-eating mammals and birds. And also are a threat to human health. So this is an effort to, this is about risk management. This is about getting those sediments out of the river and reducing that contamination.
And have we seen signs of that damage to wildlife over the decades there?
Oh, yeah, it's been documented. And now we're seeing early signs that the cleanup is having a beneficial effect. You know, up in Little Lake Butamore, where some of the initial dredging took place, we're seeing reduced levels of PCBs in the fish.
I've heard debates elsewhere in the country over maybe different kinds of pollution in sediment between we've got to dredge, we've got to get it out of there, versus no, don't dredge it, that just stirs it up and gets it more into the food chain. Was that a debate in this case as well?
Oh, yes, very, very much a part of the debate. And actually, the cleanup isn't entirely about dredging. There's sort of three different things that are happening. One is huge amounts of sediment are being dredged and will continue to be dredged for the next 4 years. In addition, there is capping going on. So those sediments that are kind of too deep and are in areas that would be very difficult to get to with dredging equipment, we are doing capping. Engineered caps that'll, create a seal, between those contaminations and the food chain. And then also there's some areas where the pollution is at a low enough level that the best thing to do is just to let nature take its course and gradually dilute that effect. So and those areas will be monitored. So and that's called natural recovery. So there's dredging, and there's capping, and there's natural recovery.
You mentioned that we're already seeing signs in the wildlife of some improvement. Are we improving as far as, are we learning how to clean this up better over this 10-year span?
Oh, sure. And I couldn't speak to all the technical challenges and innovations involved, but certainly, the expert companies that are working on this, and the DNR engineers and that are working on it have learned every year and have developed more efficient and better ways to do it. And whether it's how to dewater the sediments, what methods work best for cleaning the water that's been treated and not returning it to the river. But on the other hand, a lot of it is pretty basic. You get it out of the river where it's in the food chain, and you put it into an engineered landfill where nobody can get at it.
And now, who are the stakeholders involved in this cleanup? Is this just we're taking money from settlements and hiring private contractors, or is the federal government directly involved? How does that all work?
Well, certainly you hire private contractors. You know, the EPA and the DNR. You know, we don't have dredging equipment, you know, or crews to operate that. So there are contractors who specialize in this kind of work. And the DNR role as the lead agency on the cleanup is to be on the ground and to supervise those plans. Right now, we're very actively involved in planning for the 2014 dredging season, which will begin on April 6th. And so all those plans are made up, and they're very specific, and those get approved and then monitored by the DNR. But, yes, those are private contractors.
How much longer? You said we've been at this about 10 years. How far into the future will these cleanup efforts continue?
We plan to have the dredging and capping done by 2017. And then monitoring will go on indefinitely after that.
So what after the dredging, you'll be monitoring. In theory, if it's all gone well, the monitoring will just be checking in every now and then and saying, yep, the PCB levels are still pretty low.
And we'll be monitoring the levels of PCBs that we find in fish and in birds and in mammals, you know, so and to see if that has the effect that we're looking for, you know, to see that those fish, that those contaminant levels are dropping in the fish, and that we can start reducing fish consumption advisories on those game fish, and we hope in the not too distant future to be able to remove some of the advisories on some of those fish.
One thing you'd mentioned I didn't ask about more, human impact of PCBs. Has that been detected in the Fox River area?
Well, I don't know that there's any specific human health studies here. I don't know that there's not, but I'm not aware of any. But PCBs have been linked to reproductive issues in human beings. It's women of childbearing age are particularly a group of people that we would be concerned about. The PCBs can act as endocrine disruptors in the body, and they can have an effect on the developing fetus.
You mentioned this is one of the biggest efforts of its kind in the country. Is it being looked on where it is now as a success story, as a win for cleanup?
Well, you know, of course, you know, the proof will be in the pudding once we're done. Certainly this is I think we're rounding the final, you know, turn on this cleanup. And this has been an amazing effort. If you think about the financial commitment from the responsible parties and the efforts of the state and federal government to get this cleaned up, the Fox River was the number one contributor of PCBs to Lake Michigan and was one of the more than 30 areas of concern around Lake Michigan and the biggest. We're going to be cutting down on that source of pollution into Lake Michigan, and so this is really a good news story. And this is, I think, one of the great stages of the cleanup. If you go back into the 50s and in the 60s, this river was so polluted it had no game fish in it, and if you put your hand in it, you'd get a rash.
Ed, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That was Ed Culhane with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources.
Up next, we'll learn about a Wisconsinite who was one of the first bicycle racers.